When you are a godly, submissive slave to your master, well-pleasing, faithful, then the teaching or doctrine concerning Christ our Savior is adorned. People see you sinning in your job, and they blaspheme the truth concerning the Savior rather than that truth being adorned.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, maintaining a good attitude in the workplace can sometimes be a challenge, yet we know that we're representing Christ when we go to work each day. So how do we give our best day in and day out?
You know, Dave, that's a really good question, and I think it's one that many people probably struggle with. And so with that in mind today, I actually believe we're going to see the answer to this question from our passage in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And you see, it's in this portion of Scripture that the Apostle Paul reveals how we can be worthy representatives of Christ in the workplace each day. And by the way, this is applicable for those who are retired, for students, for stay-at-home moms. And so with this in mind, let's take a look at what the Lord has to say about work in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Therefore, we have it as our ambition, whether home or absent, to be pleasing to the Lord, well-pleasing. Philippians 4:18, speaking of a offering of the Philippians, a gift offering, Paul says, but I have received everything in full. I have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. And then he says, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Bond slaves, you are to be well-pleasing. You are to be well-pleasing. Let me ask you right now, as workers in your job, are you well-pleasing to your bosses? Are you well-pleasing to them? It doesn't say, are you well-pleasing only if they're good bosses. Are you well-pleasing? You are to be doing your work in a way that is well-pleasing, desirable, acceptable at all times. Submitting, obeying your masters. Now, grammatically here, we see this verb, well-pleasing, is followed by three participles. What am I saying? There's an explanation of what well-pleasing looks like, and it gives us some illustrations of what well-pleasing looks like. And the first one we see is that they are not to be argumentative. If you want to be well-pleasing, you are not going to argue with your boss. Chapter 2, verse 9, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters and everything, to be well-pleasing, and then what's connected to it grammatically, not argumentative, anti-lego, not speaking against, not opposite, not contradicting, not arguing. Obviously, slaves in this time could have been argumentative. And obviously, in the work relationship, we too can be argumentative, right? We can be argumentative in all our relationships, right? And he says here, speaking of verbal opposition, you are not to be doing this, not argumentative. Speaks of verbal opposition. There is no way to be well-pleasing and acceptable to your masters on earth when you verbally oppose them and argue with them. There's no way. And as I shared before, obviously this command gives us insight into slavery at that time, that there was the possibility within those relationships for them to be argumentative, right? And certainly the same applies to our work relationship. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you are to be, well-pleasing, not argumentative. So then, you want to be well-pleasing to your boss? Submit to him and don't argue with him. It's pretty simple. Submit to him or her and do not argue with them. Now, let me just share one caveat at this point. Paul is not speaking of a false, disingenuous, man-pleasing attitude. Both Ephesians and Colossians make it clear that you are not to be an external man-pleaser. Yeah, okay, people now in the flesh will say, okay, I will not be argumentative, and they'll do the right things in the presence of their boss to please men. And we see in Scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 5, slaves, be obedient to your masters, who are yours according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service or man pleasers. Colossians 3:22, slaves in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men. Okay, you're not to be argumentative, but it's not a false, external, eye-pleasing attitude. Now, I believe that's why at this point we see some portions, we see initially how to please in their presence, an example, argumentative. Now we're going to see how to be well-pleasing out of their presence. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters, Titus 2:9, in everything, to be well-pleasing, then the first participle, not argumentative, the second participle, not pilfering. Not arguing, and now we see not pilfering. The word pilfering here is nos fidzo. It speaks of holding back, misappropriating, stealing, embezzling. It's used two other times in Scripture in terms of the New Testament in Acts 5 concerning Ananias and Sapphira, who held back a portion of the sale. They saw people bringing things and laying up the apostles' feet and the glory that they were getting for that externally. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted in on that. And they sold a piece of property, but yet it remained under their control. And they made it look like they were giving it all to God, but they were not giving it all to God. They held back, and God brought about his discipline on them that day. And they were both killed by God. They held back. It was not known. It was secret. It was what you couldn't see. And that's what this idea of pilfering is. You can't see it. Also in the Old Testament, speaking of Achan, who held back things from the band, God said, don't take those things. And he hid them. Same word in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Achan held these things back. And we know what God did to Achan. Secretly holding things back from God is not right and good. And here we see, in terms of the master and slave relationship, you are not to pilfer. You are not to pilfer. It's pretty simple. Don't take stuff from work that doesn't belong from you when no one's looking. Unless you have permission to do so, you are stealing. You are pilfering. Whether it's pencils or paper or making an extra trip in the company car that no one knows about, it doesn't matter. You're stealing. You're pilfering. It's not well-pleasing. No one sees it, but God sees it. And I want to ask you, what do you like when the boss is not around? I hope you're still well-pleasing. Now, it's important to realize that people can also pilfer time from their bosses. When the boss is not around, you're not doing your work. That's pilfering time. That's not well-pleasing. That's stealing. And if you are to be well-pleasing, which you are, that you cannot be doing this. But he says, ultimately, but showing all good faith. Instead of pilfering, we see back in our passage, there should be a demonstration of all good faith, back in chapter 2, verse 9. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters and everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering. And then we have the third participle, but showing all good faith. This word showing speaks of demonstrating or giving outward proof, giving ample evidence for all to see. In contrast to secretly stealing from your master and employee, you are to be demonstrating or giving outward proof of all good faith. And I believe in context, he's speaking, you're giving outward evidence of the fact that you are faithful and trustworthy. Instead of being untrustworthy, you are trustworthy. There is ample evidence, whether seen or not, to demonstrate that you are faithful, showing all good faith or trustworthiness. Indeed, faithfulness and trustworthiness are at the heart of being a good servant. Okay, you need to be well-pleasing in their sight, but what goes on in your heart when they're not around is an evidence whether you are really truly well-pleasing or faithful. Paul shares this concept of being trustworthy as a steward concerning the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's a basic principle we can see from there. Let a man regard us, speaking of Paul here, as in this manner, as servants or bond slaves of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required that stewards be found trustworthy. General principle for them preaching the word of God found trustworthy. For a servant or a steward, it is required that you are found trustworthy, that you demonstrate yourself to be faithful. And there's a very important reason why. And I want to ask you right now, in your work, are you a faithful, trustworthy worker when no one is around Are you a faithful, trustworthy worker? This is what you are to be in Christ. Now, some of you are going, how can I do that? Well, we'll see later on. It's connected to the fact that the grace of God brought salvation and is still instructing us in Christ. Christ enables you to do this. Faithfulness is at the center of being a good slave, a good employee. So then we've seen in relationship to the earthly master, you are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. When you go to work, you should think about this verse and you should ask God to give you the ability to do this, and He will, because He says you are to be this. Now, with this in mind, that's what you are to be in their presence. What about before God? Titus doesn't address this, but Paul to the Colossians addresses the heart attitude before God. And so let's flip over to Colossians chapter 2 for a moment. We'll see what we should be in relationship to God in the work relationship. And I believe we'll see we are to serve Christ from sincerity of the heart. Our manner of obedience and submission is never to be merely for man. Underlying everything we do as believers, we are ultimately serving God. Colossians 3:22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men. And here you go. But with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Do you fear the Lord when you work? Do you go to work fearing the Lord? Do not obey to catch the eyes of men. Obey with sincerity of heart. Sincerity speaks of singleness, undividedness, unmixed, pure. Obey with a singleness of heart. You're serving the Lord through this master on earth. Slaves, obey in all things with sincerity of heart. And then he says, fearing the Lord. With the Lord in the forefront of your mind as you do what you are doing. Do not work to please men, but with singleness of heart, fearing the Lord, obey. Now remember, Paul used a pair of words in Philippians 2 that gave us an example of obedience ultimately. In Philippians 2, and what we should be like as God works out our salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, we're all around the same area, you can flip back to that too. And he's going to talk about what the working out of our salvation looks like. What does it look like right now as a true believer to work out your salvation? Philippians 2, verse 12. My beloved, here it is, just as you have always obeyed. It's obedience. And not as my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling in whatever manifestation and relationship the Lord has ordained. Phobos and traumas, fear and trembling, fear of the Lord, trembling, traumas, we get our word trauma from it. The very real thought of the consequences of disobeying God should cause us internal trauma. More often than not, it is our fears and anxiety that cause trauma in our lives, rather than the fear of disobeying God. Yes, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but we should fear the living God. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5. With fear and trembling. In the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Having no concept before coming to faith, concept of God, having no fear of God before your eyes, you just winged life for your own selfish motives. Ultimately being a self or man pleaser. Now we are to do everything unto Him. The proper mindset towards an awesome and holy, righteous and loving God is to be reverent fear that works itself out in obedience and submission to those He has placed in authority over us, recognizing He is the one in authority over us. Obedience, submission to our Lord should be in the forefront as we serve and are well-pleasing to our earthly masters. And he summarizes this back in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Ultimately, it's for the Lord. That's the mindset. Out of the soul, be working as for the Lord rather than for men. When you go to work, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be on time, do your best, be godly, recognize you are working for the living God. Have you failed? Have you become lazy? Have you been disrespectful? Have you been a man pleaser? Confess your sin to God and go to your boss and say, I'm sorry. I haven't been right with you and I'm sorry. Confess it. Do your work heartily unto the Lord rather than to man. Well, just one brief point we don't see in Titus, but what about masters? What about employers? How are you to treat? And just briefly, I want to just mention this quickly. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing you too have a master in heaven. And then in Ephesians 6, and I'll read this for you, Paul states, and masters, do the same thing to them and give up threatening them, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. No partiality with him, whether you're the master or the slave. Do you have authority over someone? Stop threatening. Be just. Be fair, because you will stand before your master in heaven and give an account. Okay, so we've seen the mandate for slaves and employees, obey the masters. We've seen the manner. It should be in a well-pleasing way with some examples, right? Whether in their presence or apart from their presence. And lastly, I believe we see the motivation for these actions. It does apply specifically to slaves and masters, but in a more broader sense, I believe it applies to all the relationships we have seen already in Titus. Back to Titus chapter 2, and we'll stay here for the rest of the time, 9 through 10. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, and here you go, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. Here is why you are to obey this command, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. In order that, the reason why, Hina in Greek, here's the reason, that they may adorn. Who's the they? In context, ultimately, it's the bond slaves grammatically. That the bond slaves would adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. The believing bond slaves. This word adorn is the Greek word kosmeo. We get our word cosmetics from it. In the context, it speaks of beautifying or adorning, causing something to be beautiful. Kosmeo. In order that they may adorn, cause to be beautiful what? The doctrine of God our Savior. What's the doctrine of God our Savior? What's the doctrine? We ought to know that, right? If that's why we're obeying our masters, if that's why we're submitting to them, if this is the reason why we need to know, what is the doctrine or teaching of God our Savior? What is that? He's going to share it, and we're going to look at it more in depth the next time we look at it. Verse 11, Titus 2. Here's the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God's grace has been manifest, unmerited favor towards man. We don't deserve it. Manifest in Christ. He died for our sins. We didn't deserve it. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, bringing salvation, right? Then verse 12, here it continues, instructing us, present tense, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, that's sophronizo, righteously and godly in the present age. Part of the doctrine of God our Savior is he saves us from our sins and then he continues to make us more like Christ. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior. Here's the Savior, right? Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lost deed. Why did Jesus save us? To buy us from those lawless deeds, to purify us. If we are working in the work relationship and being ungodly, we are not adorning the truth of why God saved us. He saved us to change us, to make us more like Christ, to be like him. And he says, here's how that will be. And if you don't do that, you're not adorning the truth of why God saved you. You're actually doing damage to that truth. And we see in other passages that you're actually blaspheming that truth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let all who are under the yoke of slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against or blasphemed. People see you sinning in your job, and they blaspheme the truth concerning the Savior, rather than that truth being adorned, beautified by your life. You see, evangelism is going on all the time, in the life of the obedient believer who is then able and ready to give an account for the hope that they have. The reason why you are to be submissive and obedient, not argumentative, and all these things, to be a faithful worker, is that you will beautify the truth concerning Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that truth is not only the initial salvation of our sins, is the fact that He is now instructing us to deny ungodliness and to live godly now. Does it make sense? If you're not living godly in your relationships at work, you're not adorning the truth of why God saved you. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. What he's saying here is when you are a godly, submissive slave to your master, well-pleasing, faithful, then the teaching or doctrine concerning Christ our Savior is adorned, because your life is beautifying that, because you're living it out. We were saved by grace from the penalty of sin. Right now we're being delivered from the power of sin, and ultimately we'll be delivered completely from the presence of sin because of Christ. And if I live and work in the context of sin, I'm not adorning the truth of why Jesus saved me. Now, maybe some of you recognize you can't do anything else. You try to be godly at your work and you can't be godly. You continue to do that. Maybe you haven't ever truly been saved. Maybe you don't have a changed life when the Word of God does not change your life and convict you, that God doesn't convict you with His Spirit because you're not saved. And I just encourage you to come before the Lord and examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. If you have a continual, habitual life of sin, and some of you believers have worked and you recognize today that you haven't lived the way you should be in your jobs, and I encourage you to confess it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Praise God, we're forgiven. And tell your boss, I'm sorry. I haven't worked the way I should, and I am sorry. So what are we to be as employees? Continually, habitually submissive to our own masters, well-pleasing in everything. We are not to be arguing. We are not to be pilfering. We are to be demonstrating faithfulness in our work to our bosses, ultimately to God, so that the doctrine of God, our Savior, would be adorned in every respect. Is the doctrine of God, our Savior, adorned in your life? Is it? That's what God's plan is for you. That's what you are to be. You're going to spend the majority of your life, because of the fall, in this case, working. Men, this is your lot that God has ordained. Are you ordaining the doctrine of God, our Savior, or causing it to be blasphemed?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, the idea that we're not working for our boss, but ultimately working for the Lord Himself, is an important shift in our thinking.
You know, David, is a vitally important shift. You see, if we try to please our boss or please ourselves, we're going to end up sinning and falling very short of what the Lord calls us to do. But when we truly understand and believe that our work is to be done unto the Lord for His glory by His strength, it changes everything. You know, Dave, we need to ponder the reality that the Lord Himself is the one who is inspecting our work and is going to reward us or not. That it's not just what people see, and so our motivation for doing our work needs to be according to the Word of God. As the Lord said through Paul, do your work heartily unto the Lord, but not unto men. Now, if you're willing to renew your mind and heart and see your work the way the Lord says it should be, it will radically change both your attitude and the quality of work as you live your life for Christ each day.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.